Well, I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. I want to welcome everyone by way of Facebook, and such a joy and an honor to be here this morning. I feel like I sound better than last Sunday. I don't know, but it has been a trying week this week with all of that, and but I got better, and praise the Lord for it. And just ready and excited about the service this morning. And, of course, excited about the service tonight. Every Sunday there's excitement, and there should be for the child of God. And I hope you come to receive a blessing. I hope you've come to be a blessing this morning. And I put on our Facebook page yesterday for everyone to get a double portion, a double helping of manna. And to be ready to be a blessing on Sunday. Of course, that goes back to what we preached last Sunday morning. And sawdust or bread, sawdust or bread. The Lord is the bread of life, and He can sustain us, and we appreciate that. Again, it's good to be here. We want to mention a couple folks, and then we're going to pray this morning. And it's good to see Miss Rebecca here with us this morning, and I know that Brother John went home to be with the Lord, and then had his funeral services this past Tuesday, and so let's continue to remember Miss Rebecca, the family, of course Miss Dawn and Brother Jim Jr. as well, the whole family. Let's remember them, and let's remember the children's home this morning. They are in isolation because of. I believe there was contact, or at least one had COVID. So let's pray for them this morning, and that the Lord would have His healing hand there and protect them there. He always has and always will, but let's remember them. And let's also remember Brother David Henderson getting close to his surgery day on the 27th, and he's going to have a hip replaced, and so let's pray for him concerning that. Also, next Sunday morning will be our Christmas offering, and this has been going on annually for a number of years, and so it's an opportunity to give a little extra as a gift to Christ for His birth, for Him coming into this world, something that He didn't have to do, but that He did. And so remember that. We'll have some special music and some special things taking place. And just remember that. It's going to be a good service on next Sunday morning. All right, are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray, and I'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. God, You are a good, good Father, 365, 24/7. Father, You lead us. You guide us. You direct us. And Lord, help us today to just, Lord, have a clear head and a calm heart as we stand to minister, as Your congregation sits to listen. Let us all have that clear head, calm heart. Lord, let us have room enough to receive what You have to say today. There may be some things that need to go so that Your word can have place. I pray, Lord, that all those things would be accomplished today. Lord, there's so many prayer requests. Time would fail me to mention them all. I'll certainly miss someone. But Father, we lift up all the prayer requests, all the unspokens, all of the situations and things going on, not only in our church, in the lives of our people, but in our world, Lord. So much is going on. But Father, we trust You today because You are the one who allows the world to consist. You are the one who allows the world to continue to spin on its axis. And so, Father, we're thankful that You have all power. Today, be with us. Meet with us in a mighty way. And we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. Church, choir, stand with me. Turn over to page number 133. Page 133. And let's sing a song. We haven't done this one in a long time. It says, I feel like traveling on. All right, sing with me now.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like sing the last one out. The yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I think I'll sing it one more time. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like
singing. Amen. It's good to see you. Thank you. You can be seated. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And what a sweet spirit we feel in this place today. And so thankful for it. And I love Christmas. Don't you?
Yes.
I love Thanksgiving. I survived it. Amen. And I love Christmas. I'm so excited about the birth that we celebrate. You know, God allowed His Son to come into this world that we could have the greatest gift that's ever been given. That's His Son, Jesus Christ, as a personal Savior. Next couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating that. You notice that we already are singing our Christmas songs, and we have another one going to share with you here in a few moments. And then next Sunday morning will be a very special Sunday morning. It'll be an opportunity for us to give back unto the Lord a Christmas gift. We'll never outgive Him, Lord. We would never be able to outgive Him. We can't even thank Him or praise Him enough. But we'll have an opportunity next week to give a special Christmas offering. That's always a great blessing. Then we're going to try and put together a little special something from the choir for the church unto the Lord. So you pray for us, and we'll try and make ourselves ready. Choir, be with me today here at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock for choir practice, and then service, of course, at 5. But it is great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Pray for those that are unable to be here with us today for whatever reason. Pray for those that are out on Facebook watching and joining with us this morning. We're thankful for that avenue. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Please remember all the prayer requests. Rebecca family, it's great to see y'all here with us this morning. We continue to lift you up in prayer. The Lord knows exactly what is needed. Rebecca said it well a few moments ago. I said, I know that you have had a very, very rough year. And she said, but God. That says it well, doesn't it? But God, He knows what we need. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Lord, we love You. And how we praise You and how we thank You. Lord, we come into Your house this morning with thanksgiving and praise. Though our hearts be heavy, Lord, You're the one that is able to lift that burden. You're the one that can give us that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I have come to understand that peace, and I am so thankful for it. Lord, someone this morning just might need a special touch from Your hand this morning. Lord, thank You for but God moments. Even a time when we grieve, even a time when we hurt, You were there before anything ever took place. Lord, we're so thankful for that. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us, be with our pastor this morning as he brings the Word to us. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be open to receive it. Thank You, Lord, for each one that is here this morning. Lord, for again, for those that can't be, Lord, I pray that You touch and bless them. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know everything that is needed. And, Lord, I pray that Your will, Your way would be accomplished here this day. Most of all, if there's someone that's never accepted You as personal Savior, may this be the day that they come to know You as the Lord
of their life. Lord, we're going to praise you. We're going to thank you now in advance for what will be accomplished here at Calvary and churches all across America that will meet and worship and praise in the name of Jesus. We ask all these things in his name. see this child who can make you whole. Lying in a manger, away from harm and danger. He was sent from up above, this special gift of love, more precious than silver or gold. He was sent this holiday to take our pain away. In swaddling clothes, men from every nation will join the celebration.
Oh, joy, joy in my soul. Oh, joy, joy in my soul. Joy, joy, God's great joy. Joy, joy, down in my soul. Sweet, beautiful.
Have you ever felt the Father's love as He holds you in His arms when you start to say, "I'm sorry," he says, "You've done nothing wrong." Have you failed to meet the standards that you thought you should attain, only to hear him call your name, saying, "You are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved." Have you seen your life be torn apart by things you could not help until you finally reached the point where you could only blame yourself? Have you laid your head to sleep and think that you'll always be alone? Then awaken to his voice calling you home, saying, "You are loved.
Well, I'm glad that I'm loved. Glad that I'm loved. I'm glad that God loves me. But I'm glad that I've got family that loves me. I'm glad that some of you love me. And I hope you know I love you. And the Lord knows I love him. And my family definitely knows I love them. And so it's so good to be here this morning. And you just never know what entails in each and every service. God just has an altogether different finesse, if I could say it that way, on each one. And I feel like the Lord has something he wants to say in particularly on each service. So I believe I have the message this morning. Go ahead and make your way to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we're going to be in verse 6 and 7 in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 here shortly. Let me say this by way of introduction. Sickness, death, separation, financial problems, moving away, stress, fatigue, depression, doubt, fear, worry, anger, anxiety, dread, isolation, setback, heartache, betrayal, unloved, hated, lonely, passive, and hopeless. That is a large list of feelings and situations. These are things people in this building and people you know are going through right now. Everything I read off to you, everyone in this building, or at least if you're not, you know somebody that is experiencing some of those things. The Friday before last, we got the phone call that Brother John Ashworth went home to be with the Lord. And, of course, as we said, his funeral was this past Tuesday. Not only that, but as if that wasn't enough, behind the scenes, another family that contacted me is going through unimaginable difficulty. They contacted me this week. They're dealing with things that are unimaginable that they shouldn't have to deal with. Yesterday morning, I got a death call from an extended family member who asked would I officiate their funeral this Tuesday so that they could go on and pick out grave clothes for that individual. And so a lot of things are taking place, heap on top of heap, in all of our lives. And with all these things taking place, it reminded me of a story between a dad and his son named Willie. And the title of this story is called Teaching Willie Faith. And this was from the 1800s. Some years ago, I wanted to teach my boy what faith was. And so I put him on a table. He was a little fellow, about 2 years old. I stood back about 3 or 4 feet and said, Willie, jump. The little fellow said, Papa, I's afraid. I said, Willie, I will catch you. Just look right at me and jump. The little fellow got all ready to jump and then looked down and said, I's afraid. Willie, didn't I tell you I would catch you? Will Papa deceive you? Now listen, Willie. Look at me right in the eye and jump and I will catch you. The little fellow got all ready the third time to jump, but he looked at the floor and said, I's afraid. Didn't I tell you I would catch you, Willie? Yes. At last I said, Willie, don't take your eyes off me. And I held the little fellow's eyes and said, now, jump. Don't look at the floor. And he leaped into my arms. Then he said unto me, let me jump again. I put him back, and the moment he got on the table, he jumped. And after that, when he was on the table, I was standing 5 or 6 feet away. I heard him cry, Papa, I's a-coming. And had just time to rush and catch him. He seemed to put too much confidence in me. But you cannot put too much confidence in God. Amen. True story this morning of a father teaching his son about faith. let all of us this morning go from eyes afraid to eyes a coming. You know, with all of our things we're going through, faith is a factor. Whether you're going to the cemetery or have been there, whether you have a physical sickness, whether you have a financial struggle, faith is in the mix. And we have to be solid in our faith. We have to be firm in our faith, because the devil would love nothing more to shake our faith and for us to be a people in defeat. And so this morning, I know it's much easier preached than lived, but it must be preached and it must be lived. And what we're talking about is the jump of faith. The jump of faith. It's trusting God now with our lives. It's trusting God now with what's later. Sometimes it's scary and our table is shaky. It seems all hope is gone. It feels we're all alone. Sometimes it feels one step in the wrong direction and it's all lost. It's total ruin. And so I challenge all of us this morning to tell Jesus, eyes are coming. Eyes are coming, Lord. Eyes are tired of being afraid. Are you tired of being afraid this morning of what lies ahead? Are you tired this morning of wondering, will the bills be paid tomorrow? Are you tired this morning of dealing with doubt and dread and fear and worry? Won't you be like little Willie and just keep your eyes on the Father and make that leap of faith? This morning, with that said, I want to preach on that subject, the jump of faith. The jump of faith. And before we actually get into the message, I want to ask the question, what is faith? What is it? Well, here's a simplified version of what faith is. Faith is simply putting your confidence or trust in a person. That's what faith is, simplified. It's putting confidence or trust in a person. Now, depending on who the person is, your faith will either rise or it will fall. But when it comes to Jesus and his performance, faith can always rise. There's people this morning that I know that I cannot be confident in. Therefore, my faith is not that strong in them. My confidence, in contrast, in Jesus, well, it's 110%. He's always faithful, he's always true. Yet there's still a struggle in our faith department. There's still a struggle when we're standing on life's shaky table and Jesus is saying, jump, child of mine, jump. And we tell him, Father, we're afraid because the ground is beneath our feet and is so far. The question is, this morning, will we make that jump of faith with any given situation? With anything that arises in our life, will we choose to trust Jesus? So we know that faith is not wishful thinking. We know that real faith is not, I hope so. Real, genuine, authentic faith is born out of taking God's word literally and his promises, taking them to heart and saying that I am standing on these promises, sink or swim. Nothing in between. I'm either going to rise or I'm going to fall. But if I fall, it's I'm falling, believe in Jesus. So we see what real faith is and what real faith is not. Let me say this. While under the influence of real faith, God can move mountains. While under the influence of Scripture, while under the influence of taking God at his word and trusting his promises, fears can vanish. Strength can be found. Smiles can appear. Joy can be maintained. Lions' mouths can close. Fire will not burn. Water will not drown you. All of these things can be taken place while under the influence of faith. So, church, this morning, it's time to make the jump. It's time to make the jump. It's time to make the crossover. You've been worrying and dealing with it far too long. It is time to just trust God with the situation. Let us all operate out of a pure biblical faith. Let us all be under the influence of faith. Now in Hebrews chapter number 11, I'll just read it to you. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now that word hoped here, it means expectation. And if I back up and I look at the word substance, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means confidence. It means support. So let's read it this way. Now faith is the confidence of things expected, the evidence of things not seen. So in a nutshell, biblical faith is this. Faith is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that He has promised to us. I think about these examples in Hebrews 11. And it mentions all kinds. This one did that, and this, and so forth. And what you'll find out is that all of these men of God and women of God on their pilgrimage from earth to heaven, they were persuaded. They had a confidence. They were expecting God to do what He promised to do. And so they were persuaded that He was able to keep that which was committed unto Him against that day. They were persuaded. They believed God would perform His promises. Back to my original point this morning. Let us make the jump of faith continually. With everything that happens in life, let us go from eyes afraid to eyes a coming. This morning, again, I want to mention some things when it comes to this jump of faith. And I want to mention three things that deal with faith. And to be quite honest with you, this is a hard subject for me to preach on because I do not feel like I have the faith that I should. There's times where I doubt. There's times where I'm shaky. And but you know, a lot of times that's when the Lord actually increases your faith and He sharpens your faith. And so let's see what the Lord has for us this morning. The jump of faith. Number one, I want to say, our faith must be developed. Our faith must be developed. This morning, there's a difference between a baby and an adult. Does everybody know that? That there's a difference between a baby and an adult. There's many differences. If I had a baby in my arms, it'd be noticeable that there's a difference between the baby and me. I'm much more mature than that little baby, although sometimes I act like a baby, and Christy says amen to that, and probably so does Lily, you know, and even Charisse. I moan and groan and kick and scream and cry until I get my way. Many, many differences between a baby and an adult. So is the faith life. A new Christian, a new person who gets saved in comparison to a believer who's been saved for 50 years, they don't have the same kind of faith. A person who trusts Jesus and says, "Yes, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, the Savior of my soul. I want Him to lead, guide, and direct me. So here I go." And then you have someone over here like Brother Harold, who's been saved a number of years. It goes really without saying that Brother Harold's faith will be much, much stronger than that new convert's faith. Why is that? Because faith is developed. Faith is developed. Now we're here in 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want us to look at a couple things. Notice if you would, in verse number 6, and here we see that there's a faith involved in salvation. And then in verse number 5, there's a faith involved in salvation. And then verse number 6 and 7, there's also a faith involved in living. But notice verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so this verse tells us a little bit about faith, and it tells us that we are kept by the power of God through faith. You see, faith has its part in salvation. And so we know that we are saved by grace through faith. And so this faith that's involved in salvation is different than the faith that's involved in practical living. Notice, if you would, verse 6 now, guys. Verse 6 and 7, that was my fault. There's a faith involved in living. Look what he says in verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there is a practical daily faith, different from salvation faith. So what is it about this daily faith, this living faith, day in and day out, that must be developed? Well, back in verse number 6, I want you to notice something in particular. Here we see the necessity of faith development. It is a necessity that we develop our faith. Verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Let me stop there. The writer has just got through talking about this inheritance we have that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so we rejoice in that. But now he's getting ready to go into trials and temptations. But you see, we can still rejoice in our inheritance because we know that no trial, no temptation has caught us by surprise, meaning we know that God's at work. Listen to this, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Stop there. Look at the three words here. It says, if need be. Literally, that means that Christ feels it necessary at times for us to be in heaviness. You say, wait a minute, Brother Justin, not the God I serve. Yes, the God you serve. Wait a minute, Brother Justin, the God I serve is a God of love and a God of good times. No, it's the God you serve as well. Because Peter's writing here and he's saying, if need be. In fact, I was reading after a writer last night, and the writer was saying, the commentator was saying that Peter was putting it light on the person going through the trial. And so he uses the words, if need be. He didn't come out and say, you are going through the fire because you need to learn something. But Peter was putting it light. He was being easy on the reader, and he says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. This morning, God thinks it necessary at times for things to interrupt your life and mine that we don't ask for. There's things that happen in life that we can't explain. We don't know why. And there's certainly things we haven't asked for, but God thinks it's necessary. And he doesn't do this to hurt us, but as Hebrews says, it's for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. And so this morning, you don't have to do bad to be chastened. All you have to do is keep following Jesus, and he'll allow you to go through extra training. if need be, if necessary. He says, now the word heaviness here, it means distress. It means sorrowing. And so he's speaking to the person who is sorrowful. He's speaking to the person who has heaviness. Has anybody ever had any heaviness of soul? Has anybody ever carried a burden so heavy, experienced something so dramatic and drastic that although you were smiling, you just had a heavy spirit? You were just in distress. You were discouraged. You left the house. You didn't know how anything was going to turn out. So you threw a smile on your face and acted like everything was okay. Fake it till you make it kind of thing, we said in choir practice. But all the while, there's this heaviness, distress. And then he says, through manifold temptations, various temptations. It isn't just one thing that's wrong in your life. It isn't just two things that's wrong in your life. But there can be many things at one time. And if you're like me, I say, Lord, what about one thing at one time? Let's deal with this. We'll turn it over and we'll deal with the next thing. Turn it over, so forth, so on. One thing at a time, Lord. That isn't how he works. The Lord seems fit to allow his children to go through various things at one time so that it might refine our faith. We're talking about developing faith. Now listen, notice this, not only in verse 6, we see the necessity of faith development. I jotted this down. Our Christianity depends on our faith. If supported, all will stand firm. Our Christianity depends on our faith. If it's supported, all will stand firm. How are you standing this morning? How are you standing? Could it be, if you're standing and the table is shaky, could it be that you don't have firm faith? Could it be that God is wanting to bring you to greater altitudes, to new heights, new dimensions of faith? I believe he is. I believe he is. How else can we rest the subject of what's going on in our lives? Not only the necessity of faith development, but look at verse 7. The quality of faith development. Now, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that. There's the word that starts off verse number 7. Because he's talking about there's a reason, there is a conclusion here. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Another word for trial here is testing. And another word also on top of that is not only testing, but to examine. Testing, examining our faith. That the trial, that the examination of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's a quality of faith that's developed. Now, he uses here faith and gold. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. There is a comparison when it comes to faith and gold. The testing of our faith is, as the scripture says, much more precious than of gold that is tested. Why is that? Why is it, if it really reads this way, that the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, the examination of your faith, the experiment of your faith, is more precious than of gold that perisheth. Why is that? I'm going to give you two reasons. Faith and gold. Why the testing of our faith is much more precious than the testing of gold. First of all, there's some similarities. Faith and gold. Gold, when it's tested, number one, it purifies. And number two, it separates. There is this purification process that takes place where the dross, where the grime, where the things, the foreign objects that aren't supposed to be there, let's just say on the gold, it's extracted through the purification process. Through this experiment, through this purification, there is separation. When gold is made, we know that there's fire, and we know that it's hot. But the whole purpose of that is to remove the dross, to remove the grime. The dross, the grime, so that the highest quality is developed. I was watching on YouTube not long ago. It caught my eye. It was this Italian gold necklace that this jewelry store was making. And man, they got that thing stretched out, and it didn't even look like a necklace in the beginning. They got the beating on it, and they got the banging on it. They laid it on something. It looked like a stove, and it heated it up until the whole slab turned red. And then they got these pliers, and they started to twist. They started to twist that red slab. Then after that, they twisted it, and they started to create this little herringbone design. And then they had a pot on the stove that was bubbling over of some kind of liquid, acid, something like that. And so they would take their time, and they would pour this, or they would actually put in the necklace into the pot, and it would boil it over and turn gray. Are y'all okay this morning? Okay, looks like some of you are ready to go to sleep. And my goodness, I'm trying to preach somewhere this morning. And this experience took place time and time again. And finally, after seven times, there was this beautiful golden herringbone necklace. What does that have to do with my faith? Well, the Bible tells us that the trial of our faith, in like manner this morning, being much more precious than what I just told you about. Although that is a precious gold being made to a necklace, although that is precious, it's not eternal. It doesn't endure. And it's not indestructible. But you this morning, and me this morning, when we go through the fire, when we go through times that are tough and our table is shaky, God takes us through the like manner. He puts us in the fire. He turns it up seven times hotter. And He does it to remove what shouldn't be there. So this morning you say, Brother Justin, what in the world is going on in my life? I'll tell you what's going on in your life. God is trying to develop faith. And listen, I know you hear preaching like this every Sunday, but we need to hear it. Because there are some who ain't living like they've heard it. In Facebook, this is right to you too. I'm just getting there quick to where I want to be. And that is, it's a walk of faith. And many people are leaving the church, not Calvary, But the church world in general, people are walking away from God. They're throwing up their hands. They're taking a handful of pills. They're drinking beer and alcohol, smoking pot, and they're going to the cemetery early. Don't give up on your faith. Hope in God. He's developing your faith. He's developing my faith. And if you're like me, we've got too much invested in this thing to throw it away frivolously. I ain't throwing my faith away. Don't cast your pearls before swine this morning. And so we see some similarities. Their faith in gold is put to the test. But the difference is that gold is not eternal. Gold is not enduring. It's not indestructible. But faith is. That's why the trial you're going through in the eyes of God is precious. That's why anything any of us are challenged with, it is a precious trial. You didn't just happen upon a circumstance, church. You didn't just lose your job. You're not just moving away. You're not just going to the cemetery, although those times are painful and hurtful. God is trying to develop your faith. Will we let Him develop our faith? If you're like me, you say, can it be done without the fire? Can it be done without this illustration of gold? And the answer is no. It can't. Our Christianity depends on our faith. If supported, all will stand firm. Man, there's some folks that should be here that are not. Our faith must be developed. But let me mention another thing. Our faith must be practiced. You saying that same thing you just said? Kind of, but it's different. I got a different point I want to make. Our faith must be developed, but our faith must be practiced. Meaning we must keep on trying to jump off the table. We must keep on trying to go from "I's afraid, Papa," to "I's a coming, Papa." Where are you at this morning? How much are you practicing your faith? Keep trying to go from "I'm afraid" to "I'm coming." Keep wrestling, keep praying, and keep fighting. That's the faith practice. All right, hold your place here and go to Old Testament Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 for a minute. Marked. I guess I do. Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse 5 and 6. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sunday night, we mentioned the verse, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That is a real thing in the Bible. All means everything. And this is the faith practice challenge. You know, we might give God some things that we're not comfortable with, and we just want gone immediately. We'll give God those things, and we'll give God some other things, but there are some things that are so intimate and some things that are so personal, we tell God, "You just stand over there, let me do this on my own, and then I'll call for you if I need you." That's how I do it at times. God is so personal, God is so intimate, Lord, it's just so ingrained in who I am. You stay over there, and I'll deal with this here. And when I'm ready for you, I'll let you know. That ain't no way to talk to God, is it? Am I the only one that does that? That's okay if you don't want to say anything. Because I tell you right now, that has been my case. Let a loved one pass away. Let someone come down with cancer. Something that just came into your life like a bombshell. And see if you don't try to figure that thing out on your own for a while. But the problem with that is we'll never figure it out. We'll never figure it out. We have to leave it up to God. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The word trust here means to have confidence. It means to believe in. And this is the believer's battle every day. There's times where I pray where I'm so confident. Man, I have given that thing to God. I've nailed it to the cross, put it under the blood. And I get up and I get in the car and I go about my day and bam. Why am I stopping in my driveway with my eyes closed asking God to help me? Because it's a challenge. It's a practice. Church, there's times where I'm by myself. I'm in my car. I'm traveling. I've just given something to God. And I literally sometimes I have to pull over, or if I go to a store, I stop. And I have to get my mind right before I even go to a store. It's that vivid and that real in my life. And so it's a practice. It's a practice trying to trust with all thine heart. And through our attempts doing that, over time we develop a strong faith. Where some of the same winds that blew you down a year ago may try to come again, but since last time, your faith has been developed a little bit. You've been matured in this area of faith. You've been in the fire. You know, you see it when it's coming. You know how it feels when you're in the middle of that storm. You don't like the way it feels. It hurts. It's bad. There's confusion and you doubt. And so you see it coming and immediately you go to the cross. Immediately you take it to Him and you say, Lord, I trust You with all my heart. It's the practice what makes perfect. So he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So he's saying, have confidence in God. Do not lean on your own mental support. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways regard Him. Praying about a job, regard Him. Praying about a school to go to, consider Him. Acknowledge Him. Praying about this, praying about that, acknowledge Him, consider Him. And when you have acknowledged Him and considered Him and regarded Him, He is part of your equation. You've prayed about it. You're trusting in Him. A decision must be made. And you have to step. Step. But when you step after praying and trusting and acknowledging, and you have to step, I want to tell you, you're walking on water. Because you absolutely have no idea what may happen. But according to the Bible, if you're getting ready to sink and you need to make a step and you trust God, take Him at His word, that step will be there and He'll lead you in the right direction. I guarantee it. See, like that guy on. Anyway, our faith must be practiced. Let me mention one more thing. Our faith must keep us rested. Philippians 4. Our faith must keep us rested. Verse number 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me mention this. In verse 6, he talks about prayer. This is just something that I do that I'm still trying to make better. I go by the acts of prayer. I take the letter A, and it stands for adoration. And when I pray, I express my adoration toward God, meaning, God, thank You for who You are. You're a God of love, a God of mercy. You're the God of second chances. And then I go into the C. That's confession. Lord, forgive me for having a bad attitude on Sunday. Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for not handling that situation right. I confess. And then there's the T, thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for my salvation. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church family. Just on and on and on. And then, and really, in a lot of cases, I feel like I kind of go through those pretty quickly. And then when I get to the supplication part, that's the S, supplication. That's request. It feels like mentally and in my heart, there's this long, long list. I mean, Lord, I adore you. Thank you for who you are. God, I confess my sin. Lord, forgive me in those shortcomings. God, I thank you for all these things. Now, Lord, first of all, I pray for this. And I pray for that. And it's the longest list. But he wants us to come to him in prayer. And you see, when we, and that's the acts of prayer. You can pray how you want to, but that's just how I do it. And when we come to that place where we've mentioned our case, we've mentioned everything to God that's in our heart, if we have truly, honestly left it with him, there will be rest. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, your prayers, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep means to guard. Shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to read one more passage this morning. I'll just give it to you. Psalm 37. Listen to verse number 7. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth the wicked devices to pass. David was getting hot. He was getting angry because of the wicked. It seemed like they were getting blessed. It seemed like they were getting away with everything. But he was suffering. Have you ever felt that way? That here you are, a Christian child of God. You're believing God. You're faithful to his house. You give tithes and offerings. But you're suffering more than any of them. There's a world out there living it up, and here you are. If we're not careful, it's easy to get angry during those times. But David did talk about a rest. And the word rest here means to be still. It means to be dumb. It means to quieten thyself. He says, rest in the Lord. Act like you're dumb about it. Be ignorant of your situation, although you know about it. Rest in the Lord, and then the word wait, and wait patiently for him. That word wait means to twist or whirl. It means to writhe in pain. I remember, of course, I'm a dishwasher at home, not as much as my wife, but back at my grandma's house growing up, we would have that dish rag. And it laid in the sink, and it was there to wash dishes. And so we got through washing dishes. I got through washing dishes. We grabbed a rag and just... spread it out, lay on the counter. That's old school stuff right there. And David is saying, a lot of times that's what it's like when you're waiting on God. It's like you're being twisted and turned. Your table is shaking. Life is not fair. People are passing you by. Your neighbor's getting blessed. Your ship may be going down. Yet David says, rest in the Lord. He says, quieten yourself. Rely upon him. He knows where you're at. I think this morning that starting with me, we need to go from eyes afraid to eyes of coming. Just like little Willie, flat footed on that table. Let the Lord catch you this morning. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray that you'll just take that thought this morning and use it and apply it to the heart that needs it the most. We love you, and we do thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.